Convert chapter number 3, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning. What? Do that in Sunday school. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now, what we've been doing for the last number of weeks and number of months is going through the Bible one book at a time and doing a survey. What we're trying to do is show you how the Bible fits together. Sometimes you get to books like Habakkuk and you say, why in the world is it there? Well, you go to other books in the New Testament, you see 3 John and say, well, it's not even big enough to make it worthwhile. But if we believe and trust in God, that God is all-knowing and God is perfect, and His Word, He has given us exactly what He wants us to know to reveal Himself to mankind. And in that combination of things, He has given us His recorded Word and inspired it and preserved it in our Bibles for us to learn. So each book is important. Each chapter is important. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration. So when we look at these different books, you say, well, this book, 2 Timothy, is a good book, but it's written to a young preacher. How can I apply that to my life? Believe me, preachers are just people, just like me and you. And to be honest with you, they struggle and they deal with some of the same things that you deal with. And there's many things that we can learn in here today about this as Paul is helping Timothy. Now, some interesting things in this book that I want to kind of lay a foundation with is, first of all, it's really interesting. You might say, well, that sounds kind of morbid, but it's really interesting to hear people's last words. You know, I've been by some people's bedside as they were dying or close to death. And during that time period, people get down to nitty-gritty. They talk to the people that they really care about. They give the message that they want them to hear as they're getting ready to pass away, some things they want them to remind them about. And here, Paul, one of the greatest and most notable Christians of all time here, knows he is getting ready to die. And as he's getting ready to die, he has this young man who he loves. He even calls him a beloved son. We looked at last week because he won him to Christ. He is giving him some final instructions. He is telling him, he is laying his heart out there to him, and he is trying to be an encouragement to Timothy. Now, you say, what are the theme verses? Well, we chose these theme verses. There was number of them in there that we could have chosen, but these says, it gives the final farewell in a sense. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And you read this, and you see this, I'm ready to be offered. You know, Paul is saying, look, I know my end's near. He's not dying of natural causes. I've never been someone who knew that they were going to die in a few days. He is going to be martyred. He is going to be killed for the cause of Christ. And he says, look, I'm ready to be offered. And that gives you a picture of the drink offering that was always poured out in the Old Testament, just one that is an offering unto the Lord, just an extra offering in the sense that he's pouring it out himself to God. And he says, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I fought a good fight. He reminds Timothy, once again, the spiritual battles that we live in, it's a warfare, it's a battle, it's a fight. But he continues on, he says, I have finished my course. And that's what I think one of the main themes in this book is, being faithful. Paul, at the end of his life, could say, hey, look, I finished the job that God's given me. And I don't know about you, but some of us have holy aspirations, or some of us have goals for our lives. Some of us have maybe financial goals or financial thoughts, the things that they want to do. But Paul is saying, look, I finished the job that God's given me. And in our lives, I think we need to get to this spot and saying, look, God's given me something to do. He's given me a job to do, and I want to finish the job that God's given me. Maybe he's given you a family to raise. Maybe he's given you friends to help mentor or disciple. Maybe he's given you a work or a job. And he says, look, I finished the course that God has given me to do. And he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me. And he says, I've kept the faith. He says, I haven't denied it. He says, there laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And then he talks about the reward that's giving and who the reward's going to be given to. So here, when we look at this, remind yourself of this, that this is Paul's last words written to someone he truly cares about in the ministry. In this book, you do not see him saying, look, this is going to take my life, run from it. Pack up the church, go ahead and close the doors because of the persecution that's there. He doesn't say that anywhere. Instead, he tells him to keep on warring as a good soldier. Nowhere does he say, hey, look, say it a little bit quieter so no one will hear you, so that way you won't get in trouble with the Roman government. Doesn't say that anywhere. What does he do? He tells them to keep on warring as a good soldier. He tells them to keep up the faith. Tells them to keep on fighting the good fight. And that's what we got to see here. Paul is pouring his heart out one last time. Now, I know that you say, well, it's not written in chronological order. Next week, Paul writes that book. And the week after that, the next book is Paul writes it. Yes, Paul, it's not written in chronological order. And we've showed you that and the purpose of that and the reason for that in the past weeks and months. Okay, let's look here at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And let's look here at verse number 14. Verse number 14. Verse 14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which have able to make these wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." He's saying that the word of God there is given for many different reasons, and it's to help finish us. It says here, thoroughly furnish us, to make us ready and available to do the works. Let's look at 2 Timothy here, the occasion of the letter. Seems like there's four different reasons why Paul is writing this letter. Chapter number 2, it seems like he's encouraging Paul, Timothy in the work. He wants Timothy to come with him. You look in chapter number 14, he's saying, look, Timothy, I'm getting ready to die. I'm in this horrible place, but can you bring some things to me if you can come? He wants to see his friend one last time before he dies. We don't know if he got there. We don't know the stories, whether or not, but we don't know if he did or not. He wanted to warn Timothy against apostasy. He wanted to tell him, look, there's a day coming. And that day that men are not going to want to listen to sound doctrine, but he says you need to preach the word. He says be instant in season, out of season. He also wants to testify to Timothy of what God has done for him in his life. So those are the different reasons for the letter. Now, remember last week we looked a little bit about who Timothy is. It's kind of interesting to learn a little bit about our Bible characters and the reasons for this. I'm going to give you a couple of things that we learned about last week, a couple of new ones. He was raised under the godly influence of his mother and grandmother. We looked at that. They've trained him. We don't believe he was actually saved until he met Paul in Lystra. We also see that he was one of Paul's converts. We also see he was left in Ephesus. Last week we saw that was the first book and why it was written. He was left to be the pastor of Ephesus. And as he was being the pastor there, the influence of the false teachers crept in, and Timothy was fighting that. He was apparently a young man who needed encouragement. You saw last week in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16, that he needed someone. You know, sometimes certain men are the leaders and certain men are followers. And here, even though Timothy was a pastor, most people think he was a young man. And that's what Paul is doing. He's encouraging him along, getting him to that spot. And that's why he gives him charges last book. And he also gives him charges in this book. He had a pastor's heart. And if you remember back in Philippians that no other man was able to minister to the needs of the Philippians out of a pure, sincere heart. But Paul sent Timothy. He had a pastor's heart about him. He was prone to illness. You see a little bit about that in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He spent time in jail in Hebrews chapter number 13. You say, well, I've never heard that before. Well, if you go and look, it talks about how he was set at liberty in Hebrews chapter 13. And so that's kind of gives you a thought there that he was in captivity. So and also from tradition and history tells us that a little bit. Most people that were Christians and preachers at that time would face jail time and would face persecution. Let's see here. Next thing is the timing of the letter. When was the time written? He says when Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy, he was traveling in Europe, having left his younger colleague behind at Ephesus. When he wrote his second letter, his last letter, Timothy was still at Ephesus. Paul was in prison at Rome. Nero was on the rampage. I know we just heard the centurion there, but Nero's on a rampage. Paul was in there, and the church was undergoing severe persecution. And the great apostle was anticipating his martyrdom. One of the stellar lessons that we can learn from this last letter is how a Christian should face death. Paul faced it with courage and with Christ. He says, I know it's it. I know that God has probably revealed unto him that the time has come to the end. He's offering himself up. And he says, look, keep on doing what you've been doing. Don't be discouraged. Don't let my bonds scare you. Don't let my bonds cause you to forsake me. Just continue on being faithful. One of the things we do in our lessons each week is we look for the eternal permanent value. What message rings so clearly through each book? And I think one of the things here, is the thing that rings clearly for me through it mostly with me, is remain faithful. Paul, one of the greatest Christians ever to live, which invests this particular letter with such interest. You know, I like reading, like I said, especially good men as they're getting ready to die. Some of the final things they write, some of the final things they say, because of the sincerity, it's from their heart, the realness it is about them. And that's what you see here in Apostle Paul. Even when you see and read what wicked men had said in the past, you can see how God is even working with them then. So here we have Paul's last words. Now what we're going to do is we're going to try to go through the whole book of 2 Timothy once again and just give you some different things and hopefully be a help to you this morning as you looked at it. Like I said, I encourage you to read this book the week before or the week after. I know you say, Pastor, you always said the week before so you'd be ready. Yes, but the week after also helps you read with these things in mind. And you have some helpful hints and outline there that might encourage you to understand the book a little bit more. So here's, we have it broken down in two ways. First, present testing. Secondly will be future testings or predicted testings. Okay, first thing I want you to see in this is Timothy's personal responsibilities. Let's look here in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Let's go in verse number 3. Timothy's personal responsibilities. He's going to come up against testing. He says, what is his personal responsibility? I think this is something that's good and something we can apply to our own hearts. Timothy had a responsibility to develop his faith. The wonderful thing that God does for us when we're saved, he puts us in the family. We become in Christ. And then he gives us the opportunity to grow and learn and know of him. And we need to develop our faith. We don't need to stay as an immature Christian. We instead need to develop our faith. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy here, to develop his faith. He says in verse number 3, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I pray, I have remembrance of thee in prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He's reminding him. Remember, Timothy is probably a guy who needs to be encouraged here. He reminds him how much he appreciates the memories he has of him. In verse number 5, he reminds him of the great faith that his mother and grandmother had. But in verse number 6, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of my hands. He's saying to Timothy here, he says, look, you need to continue growing in your faith. You don't need to just stay where you're at. You don't need to just write it off that you don't have to learn more about the Bible. Instead, he says, develop the faith that God's given you. Verse number 6, it says, God's given you a gift. Take that gift and stir it up. Get it useful. Use it. Don't just sit there. Some people have gifts. Some people have talents. Each of us has some type of gift. Each of us have some type of talent, according to what the Bible says. But some people don't use it at all. They leave their gift. They box it up. They sit on the shelf and says, hey, that's just not for me to do. We all have something to do for God. God's given us each a job and a responsibility. Some of it is learning. Some of it is growing. But to encourage one another to develop their faith. God has given you something here. He's given you the Holy Spirit of God. And he wants you to develop the faith that you have in God. As you develop your faith, you grow and become stronger and stronger. And that's why you stir up the gift of God. Next thing, I not only want you to see that is to develop his faith, but also to dispel his fears. To dispel his fears. Say, Pastor, you're making this guy sound like he's a wimp. This guy is going to be a pastor of a church when the Roman guard is going to kill Christians. He was no wimp. But he was someone who was a little fearful. He was someone who needed the encouragement and needed the extra push. Look what it says in verse number 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So there's an exhortation here. First, he tells him, look, he exhorts him to remember the Spirit of God. When you come fearful, when you come to a point where you're a little bit worried and you're a little bit scared, you say, Pastor, are you scared to preach the word? No, he's scared maybe because of the fact that he could lose his life for what he's saying. But instead, Paul is saying, still stand up, thunder out the word of God, boldly give out the word of God. He says, and the reason why you can do this is because the Spirit of God has not given you the spirit of fear. That's what it's amazing when you think about it. Some people, when they get anxious or they get nervous or they get worried about doing God's work and doing what's right, they says, well, I have this little bit reservation. I have this little bit of fear. He's saying here, look, this has not come from the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is not going to give you fear to do what is right. Now, God speaks to our heart. God gives of understanding in that small, still voice to help encourage us when maybe we should go a different direction, but it's never have fear to do what's right. Instead, what does the Holy Spirit do? He gives you power, and it's of love and of a sound mind. That's the spirit that the Holy Spirit of God gives you. Verses 8 through 10, not only does he tell them to remember God's spirit, he gives them the reminder to remember God's son. If you ever get discouraged or you ever get to the point where you don't want to go on, don't only forget about the Holy Spirit, but remember what God's done for you. Look what it says in verses 8 through 10. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now look at what it says in verse number 9. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I like that verse. That's underlined in my Bible here. And the reason why it's underlined is because it says that he saved us and called us with a holy calling, but I like that next phrase, not according to our works. If it was only based off of what I could do and my talents and my abilities, then no, I would not be a pastor. If it was only based off of what you could do, then you know what? None of us would probably amount to anything when it comes to spiritual things, because it's not done in our strength. It's done in God's strength. But he's saying, look, you've been given it. You've been saved and you've been given a holy calling. And don't say, I can't do this. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Hey, look, it's not about what you can do. He says, don't become fearful. Don't become nervous. Don't become upset. Don't think, hey, this is overwhelming, this is too much. Paul's getting ready to die. He's worried and concerned about Timothy. He says, look, when you get nervous and fearful and want to quit, remember that that fear did not come from the Holy Spirit of God. And remember what God's Son has called you and given you a holy calling, not based off of the fact that you are eloquent in your speech or because you're attractive or because you have all these talents. It's based off of what he can do for you, what he can do through you. And that's what he's telling Timothy here. Hey, look, don't get discouraged. Don't get worried. Keep on going. He says, but according to his purpose and grace. And that's wonderful. And the fact that he's saying it's according to God's purpose for you. That's what he calls you to do. His purpose in your life. You say, well, he didn't give me this talent. He didn't give me this ability. That's not his purpose for you then. He provides you unmerited favor, and it was given into you, it says, from Christ Jesus before the world began. You say, well, I think God made a mistake. Maybe he should have did this for me before you were ever created, the Bible's saying here, before Adam and Eve were ever created, before the world was supposed in existence. He knew you, and he gave you this purpose and this calling to do this work. So we don't need to worry about the things we can't do. Instead, we need to stir up the gifts and develop the faith that God's given us. Also, he encourages them to remind them about God's servant. And he's talking about himself here in verse number 12. It says, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And verse number 11 says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. What he is saying here is, remember these things. You know, we're supposed to develop our faith. And when we become to the point where we think, well, I just can't do it. When we come to the point where we think, I can't go any farther in my Christian walk. You don't know my situation, Pastor. You don't know my family. You don't know my friends. You don't know my job situation. That's what he dispels these fears. There is going to be plenty of reasons why you should not continue on serving. The devil is very good at what he does, and the devil's going to try to convince you, hey, you don't need to go to church, you don't need to read the Bible, you don't need to pray. And that's when he says, remember God's spirit, remember God's son, remember God's servant. He's saying, look, God appointed me to all these things. And we know Paul was nothing attractive, and in fact he had that eye problem, and as we learned in Galatians, that it was probably not an easy thing to look at him while he was speaking, but Paul didn't let him stop him. Next thing you see here, also in the dispelling fears, he gives you examples. In verses 12 through 18, he begins talking there about his own example. You look at verse number 12 once again. It says, for which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now look at the next phrase, for I know whom I have believed. This is Paul teaching Timothy. He says, look, I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He said, look, here's your example. Is my faith is not in me. He says, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe he is able to keep us against that day. And he continues on going down and giving example. He even gives an individual's example. In verse number 16, he says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Paul is giving him an example of someone who continued to minister despite the great persecution that was. Everyone else had left him, but instead this man continued on ministering. Okay, so we see here the present testings. We see here his personal responsibilities was first to develop his faith, secondly to dispel his fears. But next, he in chapter number 2, he gives an idea of different things he needs to be. Chapter number 2, you see, he gives a long list of different things that he is called to be under his pastoral responsibilities. Let's read here in verses 1 and 2. It talks about how he is supposed to be a steward. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Once again, he is encouraging him. He's saying, look, don't be weak. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So what was he supposed to be as a pastor? First of all, he was supposed to be a steward. He says, look, God has given you this truth. He has given you this word. He says, he's given you this great possession. Now you need to take these words and this truth and steward this. We've been talking about stewardship on Sunday nights. We've looked at many different things. We looked at relationships. We looked at families, stewarding our time, stewarding our life. We looked at a lot of different things here. But he's talking about stewarding the truth. It says, commit thou to faithful men who shall also be able to teach others also. Now, what he's saying here is that I've given you the Word of God. I've given you the truth that's found in the Word of God. I've taught you. You are saved under my ministry. I've discipled you. You've seen what I've done. He says, I've given you of myself in the Word of God. Now you need to do this, and you need to give this to others so they can teach to others also. So what he's saying there is that he needs to be a good steward under his pastoral responsibility. Second thing he talks about is being a good soldier. Look at what it says in verses 3 and 4. Now, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's not saying, hey, it's going to be easy. He's not saying that everything's going to go by simple. Everything's going to be fine. You're never going to be nervous anymore. You're never going to face persecution. No, he says, endure hardness. Look at it this way. You're a soldier, and soldiers aren't meant, they're trained to just endure the easy things of life. They're trained for the battlefield. They're trained for the hardships that they may face when they go run all those miles. And I know I've never been a soldier, but when they go run all those miles with that backpack, it's not to train them to just take it easy. No, it's training them for the worst case scenario. And that's what Paul is saying. Now look, you're going to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he gives him this encouragement in verse number 4. He says, no man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. He says, look, if you're out on the battlefield, if you're in the foxhole, you're not going to be a person that's worried about who's winning the World Series back in America. You're not going to be worried about, hey, are the Pittsburgh Steelers going to win the next Sunday? Your focus is on what? Your focus is on serving God. Worrying. That's what it says. If we're going to get in this battle, we're not going to be tangled with the things of this world. I like sports, you know that, but I'm not going to make that the big thought of my life and the purpose of my life. I'm not going to entangle myself up with the things of this world because my mind can go all different places. And I think we all know how busy we live our lives today. We can find a lot of things to do. And some people, when they get retired, they say, Pastor, I have less time now than when I used to work full time. He says, because of the fact that I got to do this and this and this, and some people can't find anything to do. I don't know what it is, but the truth is, you know what? If we're going to entangle ourselves with the things of this world, something's going to give. And what usually gives is the spiritual side of things. And that's what Paul is telling to Timothy. He says, look, if you're going to be a soldier, don't get entangled up with the things of this world. Next, he talks about him being a success. Say, what do you mean success? Well, look what it says in verse number 5. If a man also strive for mastery, it means being successful, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now, this idea here is talking about a sports person and striving and talking about being a success. It talks about striving lawfully here. It talks about developing. And most people know a professional athlete usually is not a part-time job. To be a professional athlete is something that, so, well, they only got to work a few hours each week on their job. They spend all the time training. Even think about those Olympians who give up many years of their lives just for that one day to strive in that race and in that field. And that's what he's telling Paul. Look, you're going to have to strive and you're going to have to work hard for the masteries. And he says you're going to have to strive lawfully. And he talked about here, verse number 7, the husbandman, referring to a farmer, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And I think what he's telling him about the farmer is that, yes, you're going to plant. Someone else is going to reap. You're going to have to be patient. Unfortunately, you can't put a seed in the ground and then the next day it comes up and you have fruit. That doesn't happen, not that I know of. And it's not going to come up the next day. You have to be patient. You have to be as the husbandman, that you're going to be planting and you're going to be sowing and you're going to be reaping. And that's what he's encouraging him to be a success. He can tell him that he's going to be a sufferer. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. It says, therefore I endure all things for elect's sake. And so he continues on, and in verse number 12, he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And he said in verse number 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's talking about how Timothy is going to be a sufferer someday, and he is going to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. And then he talks about how he's supposed to be a student. And these verses are probably familiar to some of you. Look what it says in verse 14. Of these things put thee in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now look what it says in verse 15. Study. How many of us really study the Bible? I mean, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many of us really go out and study the Bible? You know, sometimes we expect our kids to study at school and we don't understand when they don't do well, but the Bible gives us a charge here to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's what our responsibility is, to study the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, so we will know how to rightly divide the Word of truth. There's many people out there today that's not rightly dividing the Word of truth. Sometimes when you hear me pray, I'll pray and say, Lord, on Sundays is your day, and Lord, we want you to bless all the churches out there that are rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's who God's going to bless. That's what we're seeking, is people who are speaking the truth. And he tells in verse 16, you need to be a student because you need to shun profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. So you see the different reason why you have to study is because there are people out there that are trying to not give you the truth. Then you think about verses 20 through 26. He begins talking about being a servant. This is what Paul is telling him. Look, if you're going to be a pastor, he says, you're going to have to be a good steward. You're going to have to handle the word of God. You're going to have to be a soldier. You're going to have to be a success. You're going to have to be a sufferer. You're going to have to be a student. But also, it says you're going to have to be a servant. And verses 20 through 26 begins talking about the different capacities and the conditions and the character of being a servant of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And God, if God, preadventure, will give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth. There's a lot of things in here that Paul is encouraging Timothy to be. So it doesn't only stop there with his present testings. He then begins to go to the church and he talks about what's going to happen in the future. He talks about in chapter number 3, he says, the pattern that will announce. There's an approaching day of great apostasy. What is apostasy? Someone who knows the truth and tries to change the truth. Here in chapter number 3, he begins to describe what the future is going to be like. He says, this know, in verse number 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. He's saying there's dangerous times coming for those that believe in the truth. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful, unholy. And it says, without natural affection. And it goes through a long list of things here. We don't have time for all of it. But verse number 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He's saying, look, there's an approaching day of great apostasies. There's a pattern announced. In verses 10 through 13, it talks about the persecutions that are coming. He says, if you're going to live for God, you're going to suffer persecution. That has that verse I mentioned to you all the time in verse number 12. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're looking for an easy way out, then you don't want to have Paul telling you these things. Timothy, he's telling, look, you're going to face persecution. If you're going to live for God, some way, some shape, some form, you're going to face some type of persecution. That's not me saying it. You say, well, Pastor, I don't face any type of persecution. Are you living godly? You know, we ask pointed questions on purpose to say, you know, here it says. You know, you say, no one's throwing anybody in jail. No, persecution comes in many forms, in many ways. And here, Paul is just telling, look, if you're going to live for God, they're going to face persecution. Why is that? Look in verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Truth is, things are getting worse and worse every day. People are not getting better. Things are not getting easier for those that want to live and do what's right. And that's what Paul is saying. Look, there's predicted testings and the persecution that will accompany. And then you see the persons who will anticipate it. Say, what do you mean? The person who anticipates it is the person who knows it's coming and does not change when it comes. See, I love the story of Daniel. And Daniel, when he was cast into the den of lions, he talks about how he had a choice. There was that proclamation made, and that proclamation was made and says, look, you cannot pray to anybody but the king. And the Bible says that Daniel went and prayed as he had done aforetime. That means that Daniel kept on praying. He didn't just start praying when the trouble came. He understood that there was persecution coming. He understood that he was in a wicked place, and he knew that living for God was something that was going to cost him something, but he didn't change when the persecution came, when the decree was written, when the edict was given. He says, you cannot pray to any other God. He says, Daniel, just like he did every other day. He didn't do it as a show to say, hey, look, I'm protesting this persecution. He just got up, and he did the same thing as he did aforetime. And Christians, that's what prepares you for persecution. Is to know and understand and to anticipate. So how do you anticipate it? Well, as those verses we read earlier, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's saying that you can be prepared for the testing and the persecution that's ahead. How do you get prepared? As you anticipate it. He says, look, persecution is going to come. And if persecution comes, how are you going to deal with it? You're going to know the Bible. You're going to be, what it says here, you're going to be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You're going to be prepared for the persecution that might face. And like I said, the day is coming. I believe in our day that we live in, that to be a Christian and to live for God, it's going to become worse and worse, even here in America, because of all the persecution we see that's around us. And it's going to increase. Where we used to be the majority, now we are trying to be silenced in many areas. Okay, last but not least, you see the predicted testings. We see the death of the great apostle. You see Paul's hope. You see Paul's hardship. And you see Paul's help. And we don't have time to look at all of them, but there is one thing I want you to look at, chapter number 4. And I want you to look at verse number 17. Actually, we go to verse 16. You see the help that is given here. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So Paul is by himself. He is in a horrible place. Many people believe where he was at was in this hole, in this place that was rat infested, and sometimes even the prisoners were killed by the rats eating them before they were ever killed, before they were ever persecuted, or before they were ever beheaded. And that's the place that many people believe he was at during that time. Verse number 17, it says, even though everybody left me, what does it say? It says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. See, that was Paul's help. He said, everybody else has forsaken me, or everyone else has left me. And he says, only Luke is with me somewhere in there. He says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. That by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know, that's the exciting thing, is that no matter if no one else will go with me, the Lord will stand right beside you, and he'll go with you through it all. So the living truth, not only do we try to have a eternal permanent value, we try to apply it. And there's a lot of things we can apply today, but I think the important thing today that we apply to our life is to stay faithful and until you finish your course. That's what he's telling Timothy here, is look, you're going to face a whole big bunch of things. You're going to have to run the gauntlet. But he says, I want you to stay faithful until you finish your course. And that's what Paul was giving as his testimony. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Some people throw in the towel early. They get to a certain age and say, I'm done. I'm retired. I don't got anything else to do. And they throw in their towel. And they says, oh, I'm over with. You know what? I know there's other people who say, I wish I could do more because I wish my body would let me do more. But how about the different spots you're at in your life? Some people are younger in the room. Some people are older. Some people are at spots where their family is out of the house, and some people are in spots where they have children that are still in school. Where are we at in our course? In our Christian life, in our walk, what has God given us to do? And I want to encourage you, as Paul was encouraging him, look, be faithful. Be a good steward. Be a good soldier. Continue on. Try to be successful. You're going to be suffering at different times, but be a good student also. And strive to be a servant of God. And you say, why is it so important? And we looked at this before, is people need to hear the truth. We are the only people that have the truth, in my mind. According to what the Bible says, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We have to stay faithful because someone needs to hear the truth. The Bible talks about here in Galatians, says, for where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear record that it had been possible you would have plucked out your own eyes. And I'm referring to this because we've been going through this on Wednesday nights. He says, look, he says, there was a spot in time where you loved me so much that you were willing to take your own eyes out and give them to me and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He says, look, he says, just because I tell you the truth, now you hate me. You know, the truth is important. Now we're going to let those that have ministries that need to step out, and then we'll finish up here real quick. Living truth. Stay faithful until the course is finished. And the reason why we need to stay faithful is because people need to hear the truth. The reality of all this is they zealously affect you, but not well. Someone is going to influence the world, either for evil or for good. Someone is going to influence the world for doing whatever, however they're going to live their life. Someone's going to influence your family. Someone's going to influence your kids. Someone's going to influence your grandkids. Someone is going to help mold and make what they're going to look and become. And that's what God gives us, the steward, to be careful with his word. Give out the word. Give out the truth. Like I said, I'm not trying to change anybody to become more like me. Believe me, the world only needs one of me. Secondly, I'm trying to get people to try to become like Jesus Christ because the world needs people that see Jesus. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer this morning. Lord, thankful for today. Thankful for the people that are here. Lord, I know we jam-pack so much in this little bit of time. But Lord, as we just consider the last words of Paul, Lord, inspired by you, words that you gave us from the Apostle Paul as he was leaving, Lord, was just a cry to be faithful. Lord, I think that's what you desire from us. It's not about our gifts that we feel like we can do or any ability of ourselves, just to be faithful with what you've given us to do. Lord, help us to finish our course. Help us to understand that there is a world that needs the truth, and we need to give it out. In Jesus' name, amen.